All right, 1:30 this afternoon, call came out, shots fired. That was called in by the Secret Service. Because we're in constant contact with them all the time, we were notified of that, and we had units here that immediately sealed off the area. Fortunately, we were able to locate a witness that came to us and said, hey, I saw the guy running out of the bushes. He jumped into a black Nissan, and I took a picture of the vehicle and the tag, which was great. So we had that information. Our real-time crime center put it out to the license plate readers, and we were able to get a hit on that vehicle on I-95 as it was headed into Martin County. We got a hold of Martin County Sheriff's Office, alerted them, and they spotted the vehicle and pulled it over and detained the guy.
Wow. So the second time is what I said on social media. It happened yet another time. Time two. The latest on this second presidential or second assassination attempt on former President Trump. And I mean, this is at some point the left has to realize that they have a real issue with language and they have a real issue with nut jobs on their side, methinks, because I don't know how long this keeps happening, how many times this keeps happening, and why there's not any kind of soul searching on the left. And I'm saying it's on the left because it's on the damn left. Only one side is getting shot at here. Only one side is getting shot at. And I'm not going to sit here and do, there's no whataboutism to do with this. You know, there really isn't. And I think it's just stupid to even try. But the idea that the victims or the people that are the ones getting shot at are the ones that, you know, have to concern themselves with rhetoric. I'm done with that. And we're going to talk about some of that because that's what, I mean, if you think I'm exaggerating, that's literally exactly what the media has been saying since yesterday, really. And we've got some examples of that for you. So welcome to the program, Dana Loesch with you. And this is how we're, it's not how I wanted to start the Monday off, but you know, it's how we're starting Monday off, unfortunately, with this story of this second attempted assassination. And then we're learning a lot about this dude, a lot about this guy in the process. Like all of this information is coming out. We're going to give you the latest on it. So that's, I just actually was watching, first off, Dana Loesch with you again, top of the first hour, channel 347 DirecTV. But I'll make sure I have this out on my account as well. For the show account, so you can stream the radio show. If you find us on X, it is the our radio program as well, and you can stream it right from our radio show Twitter handle, Dana Loesch Radio. So that's where we will be. We'll make sure that we're streaming it. So this, I was listening to the press conference from Martin County Sheriff Will Snyder. Like, you know, minutes before coming out here and getting ready to talk with you all. And I was reading this, and I was listening to his remarks, and I thought he was really smart. Because the Martin County Sheriff, Will Snyder, he was asked whether or not this guy, this murderer, attempted murderer, whether or not this guy had any kind of contacts to Martin County. And it was just, I mean, even though it's kind of well known that Trump plays golf on Sunday, I mean, I think everybody knows, but it wasn't on his schedule. And he was just, you know, recently like in another state fundraising. So I don't know necessarily if it was well known in that area, whether or not he was at Mar-a-Lago. You know, people who are in West Palm Beach, and I've been there for events before. It's weird because they have a very, it's different because they have a small town kind of mentality, and it's the giant Trump plane. So when the giant Trump plane is at the airport, you know that he's in Mar-a-Lago, you know that he's in Florida. So I don't know if it was something that this guy just observed that. Will Snyder, and this is why this is important, Will Snyder said that that was something that Secret Service was, you know, that was looking into. And I thought that was kind of interesting because he was asked, well, how was this guy able to get so many yards away from the president on the golf course? And he had said, in context of that, Will Snyder was asked whether or not this killer had or attempted killer had any connections to the area, to Martin County, to that area. And he said, no, that's something that Secret Service is going to look at. And he said, how this guy was able to get that close and knew, you know, that he was kind of playing there. It's all very odd. That's something Secret Service is looking at. And I thought it was very interesting that he completely put it right at where it ought to be. But he was not cagey with his language. He put it right at Secret Service. And that was a very subtle and very smart way of stopping the blame game before it even gets started, because you remember what happened after Butler County, how Secret Service tried to blame local law enforcement, and local law enforcement's like, what? That's asinine. When Secret Service takes control of an area, local law enforcement has nothing to do with it. When Secret Service is in charge, I know this because I've literally been in areas where I've had to speak before, either before or after vice presidents and presidents. And when you go into the area that they are in, Secret Service takes total control of that area. You have to, even before you get there, you undergo a background check and all of this stuff. And it's local law enforcement and any kind of security or anything else. They have zero jurisdiction. Secret Service completely takes it over. They even, it has to do with existing law. For instance, you might be able to bring a firearm into a building and it's totally fine. But when Secret Service, when they have a principal that they are protecting in that area, Secret Service takes it completely over and those laws are no longer applicable in that area. And that's why that you always have anti-gun advocates that say, well, why does this, you know, organization or that area have banned guns? That they don't. It's when Secret Service assumes control. That's the state of play. So I thought it was very smart for Will Snyder to immediately not have any of that. And he was just, you know, saying this is how it works. And Secret Service is going to be looking into all of that. So that's something to keep an eye on. I thought that was so smart that he did that, because there's not going to be an attempt. He made it real clear. And he was, if you knew what to look for, he was, I mean, an iron fist with that remark. But a lot of people weren't really anticipating, you know, they're just waiting for information. But he was already ahead of them. That was very smart for Will Snyder. So I have the latest. Lorraine was watching this the moment it happened. And there is a compendium of everything that is over at Substack, chapter and verse, all of the latest that's happened with this, because there's a lot of stuff that's come out, including, I know everyone's kind of looking at trying to figure out the motivation of this attempted assassin, right? And this individual, he's got a Democrat donation history. I mean, it's exclusively Democrat donation history. He seems like a nut job. He's a 58-year-old. I'm not going to say his name. He's a 58-year-old. They found his little sniper's nest. He had two bags zip tied to a fence. He had a GoPro camera because he was going to record it. He was going to shoot the former president, and he was going to record it. And they had a rifle that he had a scope on it there in the bushes as well. The 58-year-old. One of the other things, too, that Snyder was saying, he was during this presser that just happened before we came to air, he was saying that thank heavens there was weekend traffic, because that's how the road crews were able to kind of, you know, they had a bolo out and that's how they were able to see this vehicle and stop this guy and take him into custody. And they said the guy was just, you know, driving along in traffic, going back to wherever he was going. It was just weird. You know, you just attempted to shoot a former president of the United States and current nominee for president for the Republican Party, and you're shot at by Secret Service, you flee, and you're just kind of milling about in traffic, just weird. So this guy acted like he was a cringe wannabe mercenary, apparently. But what's even weirder is that he's been interviewed by the progressive press frequently. So back in 2023, he was interviewed by the New York Times. And if you look, it's been scrubbed, but there are tons of receipts. His timeline is bizarre. And he acted like he was like this homespun mercenary. And he's this guy who was trying to get soldiers to go to Ukraine. And he said he claimed to the New York Times to have tens of thousands of NATO-trained Afghan soldiers ready to parachute into wherever they needed to go. And all he needed was visas and gear. And they, I mean, it's just funny that they sort of said only one Afghan apparently was ever contacted. It's just weird. It is bizarre. But they interviewed this guy. He did an interview with Newsweek as well, where he spoke with Newsweek. And he was talking to Newsweek about how he had all of these NATO-trained Afghan soldiers, and they were ready at a moment's notice. And he had, for instance, this is, and I don't want to say his name, but I do want you to get I think you can kind of get an idea of what sort of this character makeup. Audio Soundbite 15. This is an interview that he had with CNN. Like, these are major media outlets that have interviewed this guy before, which is so weird to me. He was talking to CNN, audio soundbite 15, about sending military to Ukraine. Listen.
I've been dealing with Russia for my entire life. You know, we had one period where it was okay, but now we've let it slip back into terrorism. So it's just, the world needs to respond. You know, why world leaders are not sending military is beyond me. We're going to have to elect new leaders the next go around that have a backbone and that, you know, have the fortitude to say, hey, we're not going to tolerate this type of behavior.
It's amazing that CNN will put anybody, even an attempted killer, on television so long as they're like, yeah, I mean, as long as you don't vote Trump, they'll put anybody on. They don't care. They'll put anybody on. If you take, you're a nut job and you're, you know, a potential assassin. Okay, but you'll vote against Trump, right? Okay, we'll put you on. This guy's just, it's crazy. And his timeline was all for that. I mean, he was lobbying all these brands and he wanted people to make up stuff, give gear and get visas for his like imaginary mercenary army. I don't know. He just crazy, just absolutely crazy. He's donated to only Democrats. He was registered to vote unaffiliated in North Carolina, but he voted in the Democrat primary this past year. It was just weird. He was also helping Joe Biden, telling Joe Biden and Kamala Harris online, giving them political advice to try to give them ideas on how to beat Trump. He also apparently had a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on his truck. So photos came out today of his property, and it shows that there was a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on his truck. Now, I think that we go by Democrats' rules in this, because Democrats' rules say, oh, he's one of them, and he's got to be repudiated 6 ways to Sunday. And if there is any Democrat in the party who hasn't repudiated him, then they embrace him wholly and totally. That maybe a couple of years ago sounded like hyperbole, but it's not anymore. It's not anymore, because what the hell do you think is going to happen when you tell people for 10 years that somebody is a literal threat to an existential threat to democracy? When you tell people that he's like Hitler and you put him on the cover of publications and you give him a Hitler stash and you say that he's got Nazi policies and that he is the second coming of Hitler and all of this other stuff, what do you think you're going to inspire in the hearts and minds of nut jobs when you talk like that? I honestly feel like the left says the things that they do because they want to get people killed. And I know that that's an intentionally provocative statement, and I mean every syllable of it. The left, certain people on the left, persistently say these crazy things because they don't want to debate the right. They want to kill them. And I think that you all need to be aware of this stuff. I've done this long enough in the media. I'm telling you, some people know better, but they do it anyway for a reason. It's the folks over at ReadyWise. They are always ready for you no matter what. And with the folks at ReadyWise, you have premium survival meals on the ready whenever you need them, should the situation arise. And you know the chain of command for your food from start to finish. These are all U.S. ingredients. Like, some people will say, oh, it's packed in U.S. These are U.S. ingredients that are packed in a U.S. plant, sent out from that plant. So you know exactly where your food's coming from. There are no questions. And it's all easy to prepare. Just add water. Their food is made, again, high-quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, 25-year shelf life. They have two offers for you. You can first use code DANA20 at checkout and get 20% off any regularly priced item. The second is the buy one, get one on their 72-hour food kit. kit. That's $100 in value for just $50. And that's two pouches or two boxes of 12 pouches. So it's 24 total. Premium survival food. And you've got, you know, your three hots, you get your drinks, all of it over 11,000 calories total in each kit. So visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. And don't forget to buy one, get one with the 72-hour food kit. They're ready when you are. ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, apparently the Fed is going to, well, they're saying that it's, per Axios, it's an end of an economic era because of the interest rate. Federal Reserve flirting around. They're signaling an end. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, this is one of the things, one of the big questions that we've talked about for like 4, 5, 6 years now. The U.S. job market, mounting signs of weakness. So now they're trying to figure out, are they going to enact a half percentage point rate cut this week instead of the usual quarter point move? So nobody knows yet, but that's what the Fed is looking at doing. So we'll watch and see and obviously discuss it if and when it happens. Beetlejuice still number one at the box office. It's a non-woke Beetlejuice. They actually made fun of hippies in it, and I was very happy with that. So Beetlejuice didn't lose any momentum going into the second weekend. See, I watch stuff like this because when I see a non-woke film that is more of a classic in the vein of old-timey Warner Brothers that dominates at the box office, that's a sign. And that should give you a little bit of joy. So they said it took in over $51 million as it hurtles toward the $200 million mark domestically. So good news indeed. We're going to talk about this later. What in the world is going on with river otters? So in the UK, they've had river otters. They attacked a kid. And then there was another, this was another September 12th. It was a marina where a kid was dragged off a dock and into the water by a territorial river otter. And the otter was unrelenting. Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. The kid's got scratches and bites. Just wild. We've got more on the way. Stick with us. It's Tax Network USA. You know, you got the government theft agency. The IRS that has been sending millions of these pay-up notices out. And, you know, our tax dollars just hired 88,000 new agents to crack down on millions of people around the country. And you don't have to face this alone if you are one of these people that are dealing with IRS harassment. Tax Network USA is here to help you. If you owe back taxes, if you have unfiled returns, they can help you and face them with you. You can schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. They have a track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes. They are experts in this. They're reliable in this issue of tax relief. They have skilled professionals. So it doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. They're going to get the best resolution for your tax issues, regardless of whether it's personal, whether it's business. They have the tools and experience to handle any situation. And so whether you're able to pay now or you're on a fixed income, they can provide tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Networks USA support and take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana and work with a company you can trust. They'll help you resolve your tax burdens once and for all. tnusa.com/Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, how far away was the president? How far away was Donald Trump when this gentleman was caught and stopped?
Probably between 300 and 500 yards. But with a rifle and a scope like that, that's not a long distance.
No, it's not a long distance at all. So, I mean, 300 to 500 yards. Second time. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. And, of course, that's the ongoing. I mean, we're still getting more information out about this guy who tried to shoot, again, another attempted assassination of the former president. And a lot of people are asking, well, why is it that there's, you know, how did he know? That's the million-dollar question, is it not? How did this guy know? I will say, the airport there going into Palm Beach, because I've seen the Trump airplane there at it. It says Trump huge on the side. It's not crazy to think, to not know or know that he is there. That doesn't mean that, you know, do you see the plane at the airport? It's enormous. If you're flying into that area, you know it, you see it. So you're going to know that he's there. I mean, you can even drive by the airport and you're going to see that the plane's there. It's huge. So this, that the question of whether he was at Mar-a-Lago, that's the thing that I don't think is it's kind of obvious if he is or isn't. It is known. It's, you know, pretty known that he plays golf. Everybody knows that he plays golf on Sundays. So if you see his plane there and you know that he plays golf on Sundays, then you know that he's going to be playing golf at Mar-a-Lago. That's not the thing that concerns me. Because everybody, even if it wasn't on his public schedule, everybody knows already. If you see his plane there, all you got to do is drive by the airport. You're going to know that he's there. It, you know, kind of, you know, logic. But here's the question that I have. This guy, and this is per the couple of spots, AP and New York Post. So he made his little sniper's nest there, you know, 300 to 500 yards away. He was there for 12 hours. He was in that spot for 12 hours before he was caught and he was spotted by Secret Service. How does that happen? So whether or not he knew that he played golf, everybody knows that Trump plays golf on Sundays, and you know that he's at Mar-a-Lago. That's, to me, that's nothing. I think people are focusing on the wrong thing. No, how was this guy in the bushes for 12 hours before he was spotted? And the golf course, too, when you drive by Mar-a-Lago, like if you're going across the bridge into West Palm Beach, you're approaching, the bridge drives legit right by Mar-a-Lago, right by it. You see the whole back, everything. And it's a little bit of a different, I don't play golf, but I know that it's a little bit of a different golf course compared to some of his other ones. It's like a public private, and you can, it's easily visible, which also means a lot of other people can see it too. How was this guy there for 12 hours? His cell phone, and this is how they discovered that. They were looking at his cell phone records. And they noticed that his cell phone had pinged right there in the same spot that he was seen at 1:59 a.m. on Sunday, and it didn't move. And I guess, and then he later admitted, yeah, I was there the whole time. He was there for 12 hours, and nobody saw him. Secret Service, who is trained to see these things, didn't see him. 300 to 500 yards away. Now, your Secret Service, you know that Trump is going to be playing golf that day. 300 to 500 yards, that is well within your perimeter, especially with any rifle considerations. How, do you not do a perimeter check? Even if you have the whole area secured, do you not advance it even before 45 comes out? I mean, I am made of questions right now. That's basic. And I'm not even, I don't even have Secret Service training. It's just like 101 type stuff. And so he had a digital camera because he was going to record it. He had his loaded rifle. Oh, apparently the serial number was sanded off. I mean, the more information that comes out, the wilder it gets. Now, here's something interesting, too. And I think if we don't have this audio on the rundown, I did drop it in general or in the audio on Slack. Because Ron DeSantis, and this is interesting. So Ron DeSantis gave a statement yesterday, and he spoke also to members of the press. And he says that he's going to direct his two agencies in Florida to investigate. Because this, yes, this is a federal issue. But I think that it's interesting that he's saying, no, we're going to look at this ourselves. And we're going to investigate this ourselves. And the agencies that he's talking about, these are agencies that he can, and I'm pulling this up, these are agencies that he can control. He's saying that he's going to direct because you have the FBI that's already investigating the event, the Department of Law Enforcement, that's kind of what, the Department of Law Enforcement, that's one of two state agencies that DeSantis has that he can sort of marshal to get involved. One of those is the Department of Law Enforcement, and that's kind of like it's like their investigative bureau, and then he's got Highway Patrol. This is DeSantis talking about this during this press conference. Listen.
Talked to him yet. I did announce yesterday we're going to be doing a state level investigation. I understand that the feds are involved, but we do believe that there were multiple violations of state law. We also believe that there's a need to make sure that the truth about all this comes out in a way, you know, that's credible. I mean, I look at the federal government with all due respect to them. You know, those same agencies that are prosecuting Trump in that jurisdiction are now going to be investigating this. I just think that may not be the best thing for this country. Nevertheless,
super
they have their
important
prerogative. But
super
our-
important what he just said there. So this is in the way that Sheriff Snyder was immediately kind of putting an iron fist in very subtly and in very, you know, he was not doing it in an acrimonious way at all. So the same with Governor DeSantis. So there's two things that he's doing here. First off, by having the Department of Law Enforcement get involved in Highway Patrol, he's exerting the authority that he has and saying, yeah, there's some state level offenses. Sure, there are, of course. But did you hear what he also said at the end? I mean, the same agencies that are investigating him are the ones that are also tasked with, or that are prosecuting him are the ones that are also tasked with investigating this. Doesn't that seem a little odd? It does seem a little odd. He's stating already, this is not going to go the way Butler County. Not only is it not going to go the way Butler County, but it's not going to be swept under the rug. And he's saying, oh, I'm keeping this in the press. That's what DeSantis is saying there. He's saying, no, I'm keeping this in the press. Y'all aren't going to do what you were doing in Butler County. And this is going to stay out there in front of everybody's faces. Y'all aren't going to sweep it under the rug like you tried to do with Butler County. Now, I have my people in charge, and this ain't Pennsylvania. Very interesting move here. And even if the DOJ tries to say, you know, you have a territorial dispute, do you realize that DeSantis, by doing this, he's basically saying, come and try it? Like, I'm your Huckleberry, come and try it. Because if Merrick Garland and the DOJ decide that, well, we're going to do a territorial dispute, we're not going to let you get it, it's going to make them look like they're, it will make it publicly look like they're thwarting an investigation, which is exactly what they don't want. And so DeSantis is, he's there being an obstacle to them trying to take it out of the press, drag their feet. So that was a very smart move that he just did. And I don't think that the DOJ is going to want to take on DeSantis. I really don't, especially not here. You got to think Florida Republicans and the governor have done a lot in that state, and they got a pretty big team down there. DOJ don't want to pick a fight with that. They do not want to pick a fight there. So that's exactly what he's telling. That's what he's choreographing right there. And he's letting them know very nicely. He didn't sound mean in that soundbite, did he? No, he didn't sound mean at all. He sounded very amiable. But that was a serious threat to the DOJ. Like, don't try this with us. Don't drag your feet. And you're not going to sweep this under the rug. Because now this is in our neck of the woods, and we're going to be involved in it. Very telling indeed. That's definitely one to watch. And watch what the DOJ does. Watch what the FBI does in this situation, particularly as it relates to those two departments in Florida. Because see, think about Butler County. When is the last time you got any new information on anything related to the killer and how things were allowed to happen? And didn't that just kind of go away? Like, why was the water tower not secure? Why was the roof not secure? So why were 300 to 500 yards out of a publicly accessible golf course not secured? Big question here. Very big question. So I'm just, and especially since this guy had a record, and I'm not just talking about traffic offenses. This guy was a prohibited possessor, apparently. He had, in 2002, he was in criminal possession of an NFA item, according to the Greensboro News and Record. Well, they say fully automatic machine gun. I say NFA item because NFA means any kind of firearm. If it's full auto, that means it falls under the National Firearms Act. And that was passed way long time ago. NFA item means that if you're going to possess and purchase an NFA item, you're going to go out and buy one, you have to get a tax stamp. You have to do, you have to, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. You basically have to ask the government for permission to do something that you're constitutionally allowed to do. But there's a tax stamp. There's all kinds of documentation. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not just like you can go into, you know, a Walmart and buy like a shotgun or something. It's not like that at all. And so in to be in possession of an NFA item is, and without, if you're purchasing this item and you don't go through all of that protocol, then that's a violation according to 18 U.S.C. 922 A through Z. So it's already federal statute. Now, this guy, he also had convictions for, he had possession of stolen property and a hit and run. He had previous convictions for carrying convictions. Some of them were misdemeanor. He had resisting an officer, driving on a suspended license. He got a suspended sentence. He's had a lot of criminal counts filed against him, according to North Carolina Guilford County records. But the fact that he was in possession of an NFA item without he had purchased it but didn't go. I mean, I would like to know if he went through that on the black market or if that was something that was like grandfathered to him or something. I would like to know how he was in possession of that. Because with all of his other stuff, I mean, there's a lot of question as to how he was able to buy any kind of rifle. I mean, if these are convictions, I mean, he's got misdemeanor convictions, but I mean, the NFA thing, that's kind of huge. And I'm just curious. Now, his son, let me pull this up. Daily Mail talked to his son, this would-be assassin's son, who... He's 35 years old. So the 35-year-old son of this guy apparently found out that his dad tried to kill Trump when the Daily Mail reached out to him. Now, the Daily Mail is half tabloid and half not. It's a very weird publication. It's a British publication. Murdoch owns it. Rupert Murdoch owns it. It's a British publication, but they do a lot of the celebrity stuff, like tabloid gossip trash. But then they have like a lot of serious political stuff too, and they have a U.S. political bureau for which I have some conservative friends that write for. So anyway, they do actual investigative work. I'm not a big fan of Daily Mail, but it is what it is. The biggest newspaper in the world, and they have the biggest distribution. So they have. So that I say that because some people are like, "Oh, that's tabloid gossip." It's not really though. And that's the left that's trying to say that about that. They talked to his son, and his son didn't even know about it until Daily Mail brought it up. And then he asked, was my father shot or injured? And then this is what he said. He said that his father hates Trump, quote, as every reasonable person does. I don't like Trump either. What? Why is that your response when you're asked by a major media outlet about your dad trying to kill the former president? What is your damage? We're going to talk more about this. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So this is audio soundbite 5, Kamala Harris. She unveiled a new accent. She was at the Black Caucus dinner, a brand new accent. This is different from the other accent that she had the last time. She changed that up. Listen.
Hello to all my divine nine brothers and sisters and my soror. And to all my HBCU brothers and sisters.
I don't know if it was a new accent or if it was just for like the crazy, like cringe cackling is that's what I can't deal with. It's just, it's just like nails on the chalkboard. Now, she was at the Black Caucus dinner and she says stuff like this, audio soundbite 4. This is like a word. I don't even know what this means. This is a word salad that I guess presupposes people who are voting in Pennsylvania are invisible.
I am feeling very good about Pennsylvania because there are a lot of people in Pennsylvania who deserve to be seen and heard. That's why I'm here in Johnstown. And I will be continuing to travel around the state to make sure that I'm listening as much as we are talking. And ultimately, I feel very strongly that we've got to earn every vote. And that means spending time with folks in the communities where they live. And so that's why I'm here. We're going to be spending a lot more time with them.
You know, for the people that want to deserve to be seen and heard because they're invisible apparently any other time, whatever that means. It's so weird. I don't even understand what her whole point is. I don't get it. She hasn't actually weighed in on anything that happened that I have seen. I mean, beyond like, you know, statements, random, like vaguely written, you know, just like a weird word salad vagary that she puts out typically. We're going to talk about that. Waiting until you hear some of the media reaction too, because media reaction is part of this, if not 90% of this problem. We got a lot still to hit as we roll towards the second hour of the program. Stick with us. Partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. They want to save you money and they want to offer you amazing cell phone service that is not working against you. You're not working against yourself every time you use your phone. They have all best nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area without empowering the left with your hard-earned money. You can keep your phone, keep your number. You can upgrade. The choice is yours. They have 100% based US-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. And in addition to that, you can get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana and free activation. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using offer code Dana. Do not be fooled by pretenders that act like they share your values or even remotely have the same coverage because they don't. Switch today, make your money work for you, and save some money in the process. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Make sure to use code Dana for your free month of service.
But do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Well, Alex, remember back to the assassination attempt on President Trump's life and how, you know, there was talk of a new tone. And then the Republican convention was, by Trumpian standards, muted. And it did seem like he was, you know, just trying to take it down a few notches. But then by the end of his convention speech, you know, we were kind of back to where we started. So I don't know how long this could, like, you know, this moment of unity for the country where we come together and we say, I don't want any political opposition to be under threat of violence. It's not okay, any threat of violence, you know, we don't want. I would love for us to have a unity type moment, but I think it's probably going to be pretty fleeting, as we've seen in the past.
I'm amazed that the responsibility for all of this is down to the person who continually gets shot at. So what the left is saying there is that the responsibility of toning down the rhetoric so our incited nut jobs don't try to kill them is the person that the nut jobs tried to kill. Is that what I'm to understand? This, that sort of rhetoric from, I'm just amazed that that was an actual legitimate conversation that was broadcast on a major media network. Wow. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. And you can find us channel 347 DirecTV, also on Rumble as well, and which is where the discussion happens. That this is what they have been saying over and over again since this news first broke yesterday. That, I mean, the headlines, everything else is pretty crazy they, and this, by the way, this guy was just in court. He's got two firearm related charges so far that they're rolling with, and we're going to bring more information as we get it. But so this guy, he's charged with federal gun crimes. He's, you know, tried to shoot. He was going to shoot the president. He was going to record it even as well. And the media, the reaction from the media is unbelievable with this. MSNBC says, well, he should, you know, really tone it down. He really needs to tone down the rhetoric. That was what we had just played for you. He needs to tone down the rhetoric after this, you know, second attempted assassination. I know it was Alex Witt. And I don't know who the other person was that she was talking to. This after this guy, you know, he was within 300 to 500 yards of Trump, who was playing a round of golf. And we were talking about his public schedule last hour. And my biggest question was, it's not a mystery of whether or not Trump is at Mar-a-Lago, because anybody can drive by the airport and see whether or not the Trump plane's there. And it's also not a mystery that he was playing golf on Sunday, because he typically does play golf on Sunday. So, you know, you don't have to have, you know, Einstein level IQ to connect those dots and follow that logic. But the big thing that stuck out to me was that this guy was there in the bushes for 12 hours and nobody saw him. They already got the cell phone data, and he even had already admitted to it. He was there in the bushes for 12 hours and legit nobody saw him. How, that's my question. How in the world does that happen? Especially when it is a publicly accessible golf course. It's a little different from than his other ones. You don't go out knowing that and advance it. I've just got a million questions, and we really got to come back to that. That nobody's asked that yet. How was he able to be there for 12? Nobody has asked that question. Nobody. I want to know why. Why? How was he able to be there for that long? So they evacuated him from it, from the golf course, and now you've got the media. Oh, that was Elise Jordan, MSNBC analyst. You know, what does he need to take the temperature down? Does he need to take the temperature down? I mean, that's really it. You know, in the scales of radicalization, I mean, does he need to? The problem with the left shooting at people on the right is not for the right to adjudicate. It is the left needs to take care of their own side. And maybe don't say things like he's an existential threat to democracy. Maybe don't talk like that. I'm just, it's amazing to me that this is their, you have threats out there, and they're trying to act as though it's the responsibility of the person who's being attacked. That's like saying your skirt's too short. You were asking for it, regardless of whether or not you were wearing a short skirt. I mean, there were people who were saying that it was, well, his rhetoric about, you know, the Haitian immigrants, the people who came in illegally in Pennsylvania, is that trying to find a weak reed to pull on. I was looking at just a collection of headlines, and it's bad. It's bad. It's really bad to see some of this. Just headline after headline after headline. Look, if you dislike a candidate, you beat them on policy. You compete with them on the battlefield of ideas. You don't sit here and try to flame, I mean, clearly impassioned times by saying that people are existential threats to democracy. And listen to this, audio soundbite 17. This is Lester Holt over at NBC. Yeah, NBC. He just keeps it going. Listen to this. Same thing.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio. This weekend, there were new bomb threats in that town. Our Maggie Vespa is...
Do you see how he just goes right away from... You heard it, how he just pivoted right away from the fact that somebody tried to kill Trump again. Oh, but, you know, his baseless. And that's Lester Holt saying that word, baseless. What is baseless? In Pennsylvania, Ohio, in Springfield, Ohio, particularly, you have people who are there that are illegally there. They're not of legal status. They are in Ohio. They're in Springfield, Ohio. Are there not actual reports of residents calling 911, many of them, reporting people either eating animals in the park, or are there not actual examples of, there's video, body camera footage of law enforcement. We played it last, actually there's a couple, we played some of it last week where there were people just like eating a lady's cat. Like that's where it came from. It sounds absurd, and it's true. These are not baseless claims. They actually had a town hall specifically only just for that issue. And all of these people came up and spoke. And the media wants to pretend that they're not there, just like they like to pretend that the loudest and most vociferous opposition to illegal immigration are Americans who immigrated here legally. Notice how they never go talk to those folks. It's the same thing that they're doing here. So Lester Holt saying that this is baseless, he's editorializing these baseless claims. He pivots from an attempted, a second attempted assassination into lying. Well, you know, these baseless, they're not baseless. Just because you don't like them and they're inconvenient for your narrative doesn't make them baseless. And I actually think the Trump campaign needs to keep doing it so long as they can continue to loop it back to two things. Not just an open border, but absolute unfettered. When you're bringing people in, like under the temporary protected status arrangement, like that's what they're doing with these people that are in Ohio. You're bringing in swaths of people from particular regions, and this program is not designed, as we talked about. It doesn't look at people individually. It just says, if you're coming from this particular region, then you have coverage. That's an issue. Biden-Harris expanded it. It is part of the problem. I hope the campaign continues to do it so long as it brings attention to both of these absolutely documented, credible issues as it pertains to immigration. But this is the media. It's the media. This is what they're doing. Audio soundbite 10. You got to listen to this. This is Dana Bash arguing with J.D. Vance about this Haitian story. Listen to this.
All right, but I don't want to, frankly, go down this conversation about policy
you made a point. You don't. I agree. You don't want to talk about policy.
No. What I want to talk about
instead of about the fact,
Senator,
that
it was your distraction.
Dana granted, amnesty.
You were the one who started
level.
Talking
she
about eating dogs
at a
and
mass
cats.
Level.
People are.
You were the one who
Dana,
brought this
my
up.
Constituents
the president
were the
said
ones
it to 60 million people,
and, cats, and I talked about it because you were ignoring this community. My constituents talked about
Have
it.
Have you been
it
to
my
Springfield?
My responsibility to surface their concerns when the American media.
Have you been to Springfield?
Dana, I've been to Springfield probably 100 times in my life.
How about
I've taken
recently,
my children
since
to
you've
get
heard
ice
this?
Cream at Young's Jersey Dairy?
Have you heard recently since you've gotten
the last,
these calls?
Have I been in the last 4 days?
No,
no
I'm
I
talking
haven't
about
been in the last 4 days, but I've
since
talked
you've
to
gotten
a lot of
these
people
calls
in Springfield,
from the
Dana, and they're telling me this stuff is happening. Dana, would you like to ask me questions and then let me answer them, or would you like to debate me on these topics? I noticed that when you had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
This is where I think actually J.D. Vance, he didn't do as great as he could have. His response should have been, now, wait a minute, Dana, are you, I just want to understand so I know where we are in this conversation respectfully. Are you saying that there wasn't a town hall convened in Springfield, Ohio, specifically to discuss this exact topic, this problem for constituents that you're asking me about here? Is that what you're saying? And then she can try to push back on that and he can counter with, no. Again, just respectfully, I'm just trying to figure out where we are here. Are you telling me that the actual 911 calls, the audio logs of which have been published to the internet, are you telling me that those people calling law enforcement to report people going after their pets in the yard or going after waterfowl in public parks, that those calls don't exist? Is that what you're telling me? And then I would have walked with my phone ready to play it right there and put it up to the mic. Actually, I probably would have played it without even giving her a chance to respond. And that's the route I would keep going. Are you telling us that, Dan, I just want to make sure, are you telling me and the audience right now that the constituents in Ohio that have spoken on camera, tons of them, that they don't exist? Are you saying that they're fake? Because that's what you're saying right now. Do not let these people direct the conversation. Vance could have strong-armed her, and he didn't. Usually he does pretty good in this, but how many times have you been here? When the rats ask, what do you mean, how many times have I been there? What is it? Are you saying that my having been to Springfield, Ohio, for an indeterminate amount of times, is that alone validates whether or not these people exist? So are you telling me if I don't go to Springfield, Ohio, as much as you would like for me to go to Springfield, Ohio, that this town hall didn't happen? If I don't go to Springfield, Ohio, as much as you wanted me to go to Springfield, Ohio, that the people who are on camera talking about this issue don't exist, that if I don't go to Springfield, Ohio, as many times as you wanted me to go to Springfield, Ohio, that the 911 audio logs of people calling police over this issue don't exist, is that what you're telling me, Dana Bash? That should have been his response. We've got headlines coming up as we roll. Black Rifle Coffee tastes so good. Their roasts are amazing. They get the best beans from all around the world. They bring them back to their facilities in Tennessee and Utah where they roast them. Veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they employ veteran and active duty as well. Right now, if you want to try, if you want to sample some of their other coffees, or maybe you just want to give a cool gift to someone who loves the perfect brew, you can get the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler and save 20% using code Dana only at blackriflecoffee.com. Now, what this Fuel Kit Variety Sampler contains, it's a lineup of classic Black Rifle Coffee blends. So you get 4-ounce bags of the AK-47 Espresso Silencer Smooth Beyond Black and Just Black. These are actually all my favorites. And it comes in ground texture. You can get, you know, this coffee as well with whole bean K-cup ready to drink. In the kit, it comes in ground. And just bold, great flavor and deep richness. It's just the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms. And as you know, veteran-owned Black Rifle Coffee is dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes, and you help with every purchase. They also have apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and all kinds of stuff. Join the coffee club, choose your favorite roast, frequency of shipment, and have it delivered to your door, free shipping. Experience outstanding flavor from the best coffee in the world, blackriflecoffee.com. Order the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So The Hill asks whether or not a recession, can a recession be the election's October surprise? I mean, that wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, think about it. It would be horrific news for Kamala Harris, though. If you see a further jump in unemployment, which is already up to 4.2% from 3.7% this year. In fact, there are economists who are wondering, okay, well, look, it's bad. And you could see that. You could actually see that by fall, by maybe before the end of October. We'll wait and see. None of it good news, though. Is it ever? I don't know. Also, this, let's see. A smelly penguin won New Zealand's hard-fought bird election. Okay. In Wellington, New Zealand, they have a competition for bird of the year. And so it's the hoiho, or yellow-eyed penguin, apparently won the fiercely fought election. It is an endangered bird, and apparently it smells very bad, and that's pretty much it. But you have like thousands of people that vote in this poll. So I just, that's some fun news. There's an election. I wonder if that bird cheated. I'm curious. DirecTV has restored Disney-owned channels. Remember, they had a big fight over this, and a lot of people weren't able to watch the debate through DirecTV because of the Disney and ABC, and ABC was airing it, and they were having a dispute with Disney. They did resolve their issues, and now they're restoring the other networks just in time for football. Also, Boeing strike. We're going to talk about this coming up. This strike continues. I am fascinated that Boeing is dealing with a strike because Boeing is also dealing with a bunch of crappily produced products. So I just think it's a weird time when you are like, I mean, you're basically, your company's basically going down to junk bond status because of the quality issues, and the people that are part of this are pushing for strike. And that they say they want higher wages, they want all this other stuff. We're going to talk about this here coming up in the program. But this strike continues, and it could drag on for some time. Apple loses an antitrust suit in Europe. Google did as well. They did not dodge this $2.7 billion EU antitrust fine. And there is a study on lead in cinnamon, carcinogens in cinnamon. Consumer Reports say that there's different brands that should be on your do not use list. Stick with us. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This thing's going to be a battle for the next 52 days. It's going to be in rooms, one in rooms, just like this. It's going to be one door-to-door, call-to-call, $5 donation, trying to have that hard conversation in the produce aisle with the person you saw there at the grocery store.
Who does that?
And ask, have you voted yet?
Who does that? Who does that? You're at the grocery store. You're buying produce. Who comes up to you and does that? That's a psycho. That's who does that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Find us on Rumble. It's where the chat happens. And also Substack, Chapter and Verse. And Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. I don't like going to the grocery store anyway. And when I go to the grocery store, I have to really stay focused and stay on list because you see things and they, you know, they're like candy grapes. Count candy grapes. What's that? And you get completely distracted, right? Totally distracted. Don't even take me into the seasonings aisle. I can't even handle it. But the last thing that you need, especially you're already mad because you know that whatever you're buying is going to be double what you paid for it a few years ago. So you're already mad because you're at the place that's going to be taking a significant chunk of your check. And you're just trying to find produce and you're trying to edit while shopping and just stay in budget and, you know, deal with the inflation. And the last thing that you need, the last thing that you want is someone who is directly the policies for the person, directly responsible for increasing all those prices. You don't want one of their stooges coming up and then trying to electioneer you in the supermarket. Now, I'm not saying that that's how you get your ankle hit by a cart, but that's how you get your ankle hit by a cart. Completely. That is the last. Who can't you just go to the store like a normal person? Just be a normal person, Tim Walz. He's trying to act like he's a normal guy who knows about things like the grocery store. And then the fact that he said that you can evangelize there just shows that he is not a normal guy who just goes in there. That's just not what you do. You don't do things that way.
Well, you just, you know, go in there and you just talk to him about, you know, politics and, just approach him. Approach strangers at the grocery store.
I'm not even kidding you. Whenever I've left businesses, sometimes they'll have like their street canvassers for different politicians out and about. And I will literally tell people I'm not allowed to talk to strangers when they come up. I'm a grown woman and I will tell them that. And it is very confusing for them because they look at you and they're trying to process what you just told them. And I say it real nice. I'm like, oh, I'm not allowed to talk to strangers. And I just keep walking and they stop for a minute like, wait, what? Just don't do that. Don't do that at the grocery store. Because people are already having a hard conversation with themselves about their family budget and the inflation that your party is causing with your idiotic economic policy. Don't make it worse. Don't make it worse. Just don't. I mean, that's especially right now. I'm telling you what. Has she said anything at all about what happened over the weekend, what happened yesterday? Because I know Biden has. And I know he had said, audio soundbite 2, he was asked about this pretty much right after it happened. And this is how Biden responded. Listen.
About this.
Thank God the president's okay. I think we got a full report so far. We're down there tonight. But one thing I want to make clear, the service needs more help. And I think the Congress should respond to their needs if they, in fact, need more services. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
They need more personnel. They need more money. What kind of help do you think?
I think we need some more personnel. I think they may need They made the deciding whether they need more personnel or not.
Are you concerned?
Do you kind of get the feeling that Biden doesn't care about like the Harris and his, he said more. He's the president of the United States, but he said more than any other leading member in the Democrat Party at this point. Harris had 21 hours ago. She put it out on her vice president account, and then she, her own personal account, retweeted it. And it said, I've been briefed on reports of gunshots fired near former President Trump and his property. This is so stupid. What a cop out of a statement. I'm glad he's safe. Violence has no place in America. That was it. That was her holy statement. That was it. That's all she said. That's all she said. I mean, this is, you know, audio soundbite. Which one is this? I think I have this around here. This is, 13. This is a flashback when Harris was on leading up to this was 2018 midterms going into 2020 election. She was on Ellen. Listen to this. Interesting.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
All she had was one statement. I've been briefed on the reports of gunshots fired near former President Trump and his property in Florida. I'm glad he's safe. Violence has no place in America. And retweet. You know why this statement is completely just garbage? What do you mean reports of gunshots fired near him and his property? It was literally a guy who was trying to shoot him. And he was staying in the bushes for 12 hours waiting for Trump to appear. And for 12 hours. And it's not like the way that the press describes him. First off, it was not fired near. Apparently USA Today did this as well. Trump safe after shots fired in his vicinity in Florida. No. It was a guy who dressed up and was trying to kill him. He got dressed that day, got his stuff, and went and camped for 12 hours waiting for Trump to show so he could kill him. This wasn't shots fired in his vicinity. This is like the difference between the way that the left portrays this stuff. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wasn't even at J6, and she acted like she has PTSD from it. She wasn't even there. But then this is just shots being fired near Trump. No, it was a guy who was going to shoot and record himself shooting Trump. Secret Service saw him finally after he was in the bush for 12 hours with a bright pink shirt on. And they shot at him and ended up taking him into custody. Don't let these people diminish what they have done. And yes, we're playing by the left's rules. These are the left's rules. Democrats have demanded full association. This is what they make everyone else live by. Full association. This guy had a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on his truck. He donated exclusively to Democrats. He's yours. And this isn't the first, second, or third time that this has happened now. But the way that the media has tried to diminish it, and it is wild to me. Oh, it was near his property. That's the other thing that they did when they were describing this guy. So if they weren't trying to diminish the press, the manner in which it all happened, they tried to act like the guy climbed up like a mountain goat onto a crevasse in a cliff and was wearing like a ghillie suit and just perched in there and was glassing and waiting for his chance. He was in the bushes by a chain link fence in a bright pink shirt. Bright pink shirt. I don't know if you saw some of the photos, but he was in a bright coral pink shirt when he was apprehended. It was the shirt that he was wearing when he was there in the shrubbery, not a jungle, like by some palm trees, a sidewalk and shrubbery for 12 hours. And nobody saw. I mean, I am made of questions right now. We got to have serious discussion about Secret Service. And I think that, you know, you got some of the rank and file that do really good work. But these decisions and this problem is coming from the top. And then there's all kinds of questions about this guy's associations. Who is this guy affiliated with? It just sounds spooky. I'll say it. It sounds spooky as hell. Wasn't he in a BlackRock ad? I read somewhere that this guy was in a BlackRock ad. And by read somewhere, I mean like actual friends of mine who are legitimate journalists. I've got a lot of questions about it. Where do these dudes come from? They all have the same like make and model. Is he a white dude for Harris? Is that what this guy is? I mean, he's got pictures of him posing with all kinds of Biden-Harris folks. He's done interviews with Newsweek, New York Times, CNN. It is, I just got a lot of questions about this. And like I said, it's kind of spooky. When you see some of this, it's just weird. You got two of these assassination attempts now, what, a couple of months. New York Times had a profile on him. They did a whole profile on him. They didn't just interview him. They did a profile on this guy. And he's got a profile. I mean, he's pretty anti-Semitic, according to Social. And he's acting like his son was like, yeah, reasonable people don't like Trump. They don't. And the left is not taking this issue seriously. They had, who is it? Who's that Vindman guy? Lunchbox Vindman and his equally lunchbox wife. Apparently she was sad that I guess the guy wasn't successful or the guy didn't take a shot or something to that effect. And she had to delete her tweet. And there was a lot of drama that I was avoiding on social media yesterday. And Democrats are trying to act like it's Trump's fault that he's been targeted now for assassination, not once, but twice. They're not taking it seriously. They diminish all of it. You would think for their own political survival that they would want to take this seriously. But I think that the left is so tribal that they can't even see things that they need to do in order to prolong their political shelf life. Now, Trump, for his part, has blamed Harris. I mean, he's gone out and he's very much said that this is, her rhetoric, et cetera, is responsible for this. And I think this is there's a several soundbite. Well, I think that was just a quote that he had given. But he had said that their rhetoric is causing me to be shot at, is what he had said. It's what he a statement that he had made. And when you were called an existential threat to the Republic and you're called Hitler and all this other stuff, I mean, the case is, doesn't seem like it's a hard case to make. But the left has got to start taking this seriously, if for no other reason than the preservation of the bloodless transfer of power every election. True Americans celebrate that distinctly, that super unique feature that we have in this country. And instead why does Trump cause himself to get shot at? It's just wild. That's their take on it. We've got more on the way. We're going to dive into some of the psychology of it, but also the Boeing issue. I mean, this is the worst timing I can ever imagine to make demands and go on strike for Boeing. We're going to talk about this coming up as well as we roll towards Florida Man. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our folks over at Kel-Tec. The P-15, this is an ideal concealed carry pistol. You've got it. It's a striker fire pistol. It is awesome. If you don't have it, if you haven't seen it, if you haven't fired it, you need to. It is the lightest, thinnest, sleekest 9mm double stack magazine 9mm on the market. And my 43X previously was like my smallest, easily concealed 9mm that I liked. And then when Kel-Tec came out with the P-15, that is like my go-to. I love it. Now you got two versions. You have the polymer version, and then you have the metal version, which has those walnut wood panels, textured grips. It's just a gorgeous looking gun. And this P-15 comes with two magazines. So you've got your first standard 15 round magazine. You got a minimal pinky extension. But then you also get your flush fit double stack mag for more concealability, and that holds 12 rounds. Tritium fiber optic front sight. You got fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. The width 1.27 inches. Really nice barrel, really nice trigger pull, 4-inch barrel, lifetime warranty from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It is Kel-Tec's P15 9mm ultra concealable, dependable, and you don't lose any stopping power. Innovation, performance, and Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Clay County, Florida. So, Florida driver driving erratically, swerving all over the road, so much so that other motorists were calling him in to the police. And so Clay County deputies arrived. They caught up with the truck. They watched it as it narrowly missed parked cars, swerving in and out of lanes. And the sheriff's office said he was weaving all over the road and almost caused an accident before we pulled him over. And the driver, 23-year-old Derek Foreman, well, apparently police noticed that tucked right inside of his shirt was a squirrel, a live one, like a live actual squirrel. Now, Foreman did not deny the fact that he was driving erratically and that he almost hit pedestrians and parked cars. He looked right at the deputy dead in his eyes and said, "The squirrel was eating me, and that's why I was swerving." Now, they apparently got the squirrel, and then they conducted the sobriety test, and the breathalyzer confirmed that the guy was drunk and that it couldn't have just been the squirrel. Now, they got the squirrel. He was unharmed and released into the wild, but apparently the driver was arrested on the spot and charged with DUI and reckless driving. As the first, I mean, they noted he didn't really have any injuries, so I don't know if I take that seriously. This Fox 35 Orlando, a Florida man in Davenport, Florida, a former employee at a gas station, was doing upskirt shots, according to Polk County Sheriff's Office. They responded to a Circle K. A woman reported feeling someone hit her in her lower back while she was using self-checkout, and she looked behind her and said a man was walking away. She told deputies that she thought that the man tried to take a photo of her. They used surveillance video, and they saw that the guy, Christopher Kilpatrick, not only was like a total pervert and was, you know, like trying to expose himself, and he apparently did hit her on the back, but he's done upskirt photos of women. His cell phone was seized, and he had tons of photos and videos of that, like all these upskirt shots. They said, listen to this, they said, according to the sheriff's office, that he has done this to between 300 and 400 women, including juveniles. So you're talking about young girls. So he's been arrested and booked into jail on several charges, including exposure of sexual organs and simple battery. Now, they're still investigating to see who else that he's, Polk County deputies, who else this guy has targeted. And they don't know if all of the women, like this woman, knew whether or not that he had done it. But they're trying to get in touch with victims, and they're further investigating it. That's crazy. I don't know why anybody would actually want to do this, because this seems super dangerous. A Florida man is accused of driving or operating an excavator while totally drunk. Bunnell, Florida. He was accused of making threats and trying to operate heavy machinery at a scrapyard. Flagler County Sheriff's Office said they responded to a call about a verbal dispute and threats involving a drunk dude. When they showed up, they found John Kastner, 62 years old, behind the controls of an excavator. He was totally impaired and completely unable to operate the machinery safely. So he got a DUI. I did not know you could get a DUI being drunk behind the controls of an excavator, but you can, and he got one. He was taken into custody and charges were levied. Just wild. All right, so coming up, we've got more in store. Media reaction, the latest about the attempted second now assassination of the former president, current Republican nominee for president. We got all that and more coming up. Stick with us.
I am personally very happy that Donald Trump is okay. I do not want in our democratic society for people to commit political violence. I would like to continue to implement gun safety legislation. I have a safe storage piece of legislation that any one of my Republican colleagues is free to join. It is supported in a bipartisan way here in New Jersey by different groups. I have legislation, EMTALA legislation, simply saying that women who come to an emergency room who are pregnant can get a base level of emergency.
She's asked about this assassination, and she starts talking about abortion. You can't make this stuff up. These people are nuts. Welcome back to the program. That was a Democrat rep who was talking about, well, we don't want political assassinations, but we want, and then she goes into abortion. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this third hour, and you can listen coast to coast, channel 347 DirecTV. Also, find us on Rumble, too, Substack, Chapter and Verse. the issue isn't safe storage. The issue is, first off, how is this guy able to sit in a bright pink shirt in some basic landscape shrubbery, literally right by the golf course, 300 to 500 yards away from Trump, and for 12 hours sit there and not be spotted by Secret Service? The photo that Juan is showing you on the simulcast, that's the pink shirt this dude was wearing. They act like, the media acts like he was in a ghillie suit and that he trekked up the side of a mountain like a goat and then, you know, perched and made a little sniper's nest on a perch up there in the crevasse of some granite. That's not what happened. He was in a pink shirt for 12 hours in some landscape shrubbery and just waiting for Trump. That's the question. Why was this guy able to sit there for that long? For 12 hours. The I've heard people brought up, and I just want to put it to bed, the question of, well, how did he know Trump was playing golf? Trump plays golf on Sundays. Everybody knows Trump plays golf on Sundays. Furthermore, it's very easy to know if Trump's at Mar-a-Lago because anybody can drive past the airport, which is like minutes away from Mar-a-Lago, and you can see whether or not the Trump plane's there. The Trump plane's there, Trump's there. That's it. It's very, you know, two and two, put two and two together. That's not an issue. Don't get you know, bogged down in that. The big issue is, how is this guy able to be there for 12 hours, bright pink shirt, with a rifle? He's got a GoPro. He's going to record what he's doing, waiting, because he knew Trump played golf. He knew the plane was waiting. Taken into custody. That was also interesting that he fled and that he's alive. Because usually these guys, once they're presented with the lethal force, they off themselves if they're not killed by law enforcement. So this is like really... it's very interesting that it was that he just drove away in traffic. You know, that Will Snyder, who's the sheriff there in Martin County, was saying, I'm grateful for the traffic, because had there not been traffic, it had probably been more difficult to get him as quickly. So good for that. But there are a lot of questions about this. Don't let Democrats also try to make this the thing about gun control either. And that's the big question. Why are we having this issue? Why is it gun control? Audio somebody 34. This is one of those broads with the VO. The issue, and you know what else? The issue isn't the availability of firearms. It's the issue that I just laid out. Sorry, go ahead.
And you know what else we need to talk about? We need to talk about how people with mental health issues keep getting easy access to assault weapons, weapons of war.
Well, they don't. And this wasn't a quote unquote assault weapon. And again, just to put that to bed, the phrase assault rifle was only used one time in an early Army field training manual that specifically referenced fully auto or select fire capable firearms. And it wasn't talking about semi-automatic sporting rifles. So stop using terminology that's stupid and made up and makes zero sense when you use it in this fashion. It's not a people with mental health issues getting access to firearms. The issue is, how was this guy able to get such close access to Trump? That's the issue. I mean, you have Secret Service. This is supposed to be like the be-all, end-all of protection. And if it's an issue of not having enough agents, which we knew was an issue at Butler County, this is a top-down problem. And that has to be addressed. And so far, it hasn't been. What has changed from Butler County, Pennsylvania to now in terms of how Secret Service operates, except one chick is gone? What has changed? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This makes it so unbelievably frustrating. So frustrating. And yet here we are. The way that the media keeps going on about this also, it's just fueling it. We played this audio earlier from Lester Holt. We've played some other ones. It is not an issue of this Trump causing these problems for himself. Listen to this. This is Ratcliffe. Audio soundbite 21. I mean, you know, he makes a good point here. Listen.
Well, my reaction, I think, is unfortunately what most American, what the reaction of most Americans would be, which is, I'm not shocked. Why would anyone be shocked at this point in time if they heard that there were shots fired in the vicinity of President Trump, given what's happened? You know, given unprecedented legal cases, indictments against him, legal theories that have never been pursued. And when there was an actual assassination attempt against him, it was minimized by his political opponents. And when, you know, Kamala Harris on the stage last week at a debate demonized him and labeled him a threat to democracy, Why would any of us be surprised that there continue to be potential threats on his safety and on his life like there have been in the past?
I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Why is that not a consideration? Audio soundbite 19. This is a former FBI agent, Jim Clemente, who's talking about what inspired, what triggered this? What motivated this guy, perhaps, do you think, to do what he did? Listen.
It says that he's not, he's not suicidal, apparently. He wasn't going to take his own life if he was almost being captured. Clearly, we saw that he was captured without that. And it tells me that he's probably much more politically motivated. The last shooter in Pennsylvania, I don't want to say his name because I don't want to promote him in any way, but he was clearly a guy that was looking for the notoriety of taking that shot. I would think we're going to find that this guy's extremely politically motivated and that he probably was spurred on by much of the political diatribes that are going on these days, talking about Trump, equating him to Hitler and things like that. So I don't think this is the last we'll see of crazies out there trying to do that.
When you look at this guy's makeup, you look at what he's posted on social media and how he was bragging about having this access or having, I guess, the ability to call up like thousands of NATO-trained Afghan soldiers is what he said, ready to drop in and fight where they need to. Like, he acts like he's like a warlord. Like, he's this mercenary warlord and he just has at his command all these soldiers and that. And he has been, was in Ukraine and trying to get people to commit boots on the ground in Ukraine. And you read this stuff and this guy's, I mean, he acts like he is a foot soldier in the battle against this giant evil, right? So when you hear stuff like to the effect of Trump is Hitler and he's the great, he's the an existential threat to democracy and he's a dictator and if he wins, he's going to be a dictator and all your freedoms are gone and women, he's going to subject you to all of this stuff. Now, if Democrats really believed the stuff that they believed, which I think some of them do, I think others just use it because they know they use that language because they know other people out there will believe this. And you have people like the Bernie bro, the guy who volunteered for Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign and tried to assassinate a baseball field of congressional members who were practicing for a congressional baseball game. And he was inspired by political rhetoric. I'm not going to say that we need to police speech, but I think that lawmakers and people that are elected to higher office do have a higher level of accountability. And I think that when you get to elected office, there are certain things that you forfeit, like being a jackass when it comes to this insane language that you use to try to portray your opponent as much of an extremist as possible. You should be highlighting your policy differences and trying to sell people on that instead of trying to say, well, you can't vote. Don't vote for me because my policy is better. Vote for me because that guy's Hitler. That's what they're saying. And when you have the left out there doing that much, is it beyond the realm of possibility that someone's going to be there and think, wow, this guy is like the second coming of Hitler. Maybe I should do something. It comes back to that question. I had this conversation with somebody recently. It comes back to that question of, well, if you see baby Hitler, would you kill baby Hitler? Right? I mean, if you think that somebody is so evil that they're willing to go to that end and you really believe that, then you're reasoning with yourself, well, then am I not serving my republic by not doing something about it? That's how these people think. And the left knows that there are people out there who think that. That's why they say the things that they say. That's why they want you to fear that. They know that you know all of this. And they think that by continuing to talk this way, that's going to make you more afraid of the crazies. And that might, you know, terrorize you into silence. That's the psychology of it all. I want to shift gears here. Can we talk about the Boeing issue? Because, hoo boy, I'm trying to wrap my head around this one. Because this is something else. So apparently, I don't know why Boeing has decided that they're going to go on strike. Boeing machinists across the U.S. West Coast, they stopped work at midnight on Friday. They've been picketing outside the Renton factory in Seattle. That makes the 737 MAX. It's Boeing's top-selling aircraft. They got a lot of demands per media. Machinists voted 94.6% to reject the contract that Boeing said was its most generous ever. Boeing's offer, they said, didn't compensate for stagnated wages, 16 years, higher out-of-pocket health care costs, the relocation of thousands of union jobs. By the way, you know how you got those things? Because you voted Democrat. Because your union head backed a Democrat. And guess what that Democrat did? That Democrat increased your health care plan, the cost of it, increased how much your stuff cost, increased how much your groceries cost, increased how much your energy cost. And then because of the disastrous business taxes, they started exporting jobs overseas. I mean, you know, don't vote Democrat if you don't want this stuff to happen. I feel like people who vote a certain way and then are surprised by the consequences of it should have to endure it. And then maybe vote smarter next time. They said members spoke loud and clear. They didn't like the parts of this agreement. Now, here's the thing. I am amazed at this because the union leaders apparently advise taking 25% of the offer from the company, but the workers said no. They rejected it. They weren't interested. When you're looking at a contract, doesn't the health of the product you make come into question when you are looking for pay increases and benefit and all this? I'm wondering because I was reading a story about a door flying off a 737 jet in midair and all of this stuff. They said that the new CEO, Kelly Orthberg, and this is from Reuters, it was brought in to restore faith in the plane maker after a door blew off of one jet mid-January. He proposed a deal, a pay raise of 25% over 4 years, lower than the 40% they demanded. They're like, they got to cover debt maturities. Boeing has to generate cash flow. The reason I think they're doing this now is because they know it's an election year. Biden needs to keep those people on board in terms of votes for November. So they're all working together in order to make that happen. But this is not the time to strike. Boeing shares fell almost 5%, according to Bloomberg News. The stock has declined over 38% just this year. The financial difficulty that they've dealt with has exposed the deficiencies at its factories, and they've had to reduce production. And now they've got junk bond. They're going to get junk bond status. Because Fitch said that Friday they might cut their ratings to junk. This is the time that you should be begging, what can we do to help?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't know if you guys saw this video. It is wild. It happened over the weekend. Jane's Addiction's already had to cancel a couple of upcoming shows. But video came out of Perry Farrell punching Dave Navarro on stage. They got into a fight on stage, and Perry Farrell's wife was speaking out about it. Dave Navarro, for his part, handled it real well, did not, you know, he tried to keep Perry at arm's length, and it was all right in front of the fans as well. And some of the discussion was that, well, apparently Perry was having problems hearing himself over the band, and that's what started it. Okay, well, then maybe turn your monitor up. Or don't you have in-ears? Because that's what all of that is for. Maybe turn your stuff up. But one thing that you don't do is get into a shoving match with your bandmates on stage. And like I said, Dave Navarro handled it very well, to his credit. Perry Farrell's kind of a drama queen. Let's be real. Dude is a big-time drama queen. He is. So he gets in and he shoves them, and then the other crew members got to get involved. And Navarro kept playing, though. Like, as it started, Navarro was still playing. So that was pretty impressive. All right, moving on. This, let's see, a juror, this is boring. Let's do the Disney Superfan home. I would not want to buy this in Wales. This is in Wales, it's in Britain. And apparently the whole house is dedicated to Disney with murals everywhere. It is a Disney-themed home. I don't even think the murals are all that great. And this looks like a horrible problem of a fixer-upper now, because this is garish. This house is not going to sell if you see the photos of it. Oh, it's so bad. We got more on the way. Stick with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero. Wow.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time?
Wow. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And by the way, out of all of those, Depp was the only one who said that. I shouldn't have said what I said, by the way, out of all of those people. He was the only one who said that, who went back and was like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this third hour. And I mean, if you want to have a conversation about rhetoric, the left needs to look, the stuff that's in Springfield, Ohio happened, regardless of whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, then tough, it happened. But it's what is a conspiracy theory asinine fruit basket is to claim that all these people are lying about it and then act like that's a violent, that's some example of violent rhetoric that justifies what happened over the weekend with Trump's second attempted assassination. I mean, good grief, this is crazy. Why are people on the left not taking this more seriously? You had a riot at the Capitol in which the only person that was injured because of it was a woman who was shot by a Capitol policeman who was very, very trigger happy. And even though there was a whole SWAT team behind her and they already knew she didn't pose a threat, but I digress. And they act like that is worse than 9/11. They don't act like it. They say that it is worse than 9/11. And yet you have two people who try to shoot and kill Trump. And the left is just, they shrug their shoulders and they act like he deserved it because they disagree with him on policy. Which tells you everything about what the left, I guess, thinks that that's acceptable. It's wild. Absolutely wild. And this is what we're dealing with. That's the rhetoric that rhetoric has been out there. And Democrats have been doing this for years. I first got into broadcasting in 2008. And since that time, I have played countless clips on my show of the left saying these things. The way that they hyper overreact whenever anyone on the right so much as pushes back a little bit, they lose their minds. When I told them at a CPAC in, what was it, 2018, that the news network, they like the ratings that come from mass casualty incidents, and they were apoplectic. CNN wanted to drag me over the coals for it, and they demanded to, they were going to lecture me. I wasn't going to have it. And I pushed back on them twice as hard. You know, these are people who constantly act like and say on their network, CNN, MSNBC, everybody, if they don't disagree with you, you must be a domestic terrorist. If they don't agree with you, you're a terrorist. If they don't like your policy, then you are a Nazi. And if you support Second Amendment rights, you have blood on your hands and all this other stuff. And they talk about, punching back twice as hard. And you have Chuck Schumer speaking in front of the Supreme Court, talking about the Supreme Court justices and naming Brett Kavanaugh. And then 2 weeks after that, you got a guy's on Kavanaugh Street going to go kill him and he's arrested. And I mean, they never, ever put two and two together. And all of these people have been doing this have been on the left. The guy who tried to assassinate a Supreme Court justice on the left. The guy who tried to assassinate a ball field of congressional members from the left. The guy who beat up and tried to kill Rand Paul because he wanted to beat him to death from the left. The guy who tried to shoot and kill Trump the first time in Pennsylvania on the left. The guy who tried to shoot and kill Trump again. Mar-a-Lago on the left. They're always on the left. That's a common denominator. Maybe Democrats need to check their words a little bit here. This is, it's, the diminishment of it is just really troubling for the health of, I mean, it just, what is wrong with your souls? Here, this is a headline from Politico. Listen to this. A real headline. Republicans outraged over possible assassination attempt. Oh my gosh. This is wild. Denunciations of political violence from across the political spectrum quickly gave way to partisan finger pointing. What do you mean? This is not a... Literally, Trump was shot in the head and somebody was murdered. And then the left is what? Good grief. By the way, you know that this killer, on his social media account, he used the exact same talking points that Harris has used. They have all, there's a lot of screenshots. I'm not going to get into all of it, but there's some screenshots out there. I mean, you, how do you know there's violence against the right and then you downplay it and say that Republicans are outraged? How do you, shouldn't their headline be, why isn't everyone outraged? I question someone's devotion to the principles of this republic and their Americanness when they don't ask that question. It's not something that only Republicans should be outraged by. People who are truly outraged at the threat something like this poses to the health of the republic are outraged, because these are people who prioritize the health of the republic over partisan party lines. Everybody should be outraged. People like the Vindmans, that Alexander Vindman guy and his lunchbox wife, who was shrugging off and was saying that she just didn't really care. She's completely indifferent. She had to delete her tweet. These people are traitors to this republic. And I mean that in that very sense of the word. You can be a pencil pusher all you want to, but when you can't stand up for the principles that hold this republic aloft, you're part of the problem. That's why we're in the situation that we're in. Because the left got so bad at policy and they got so bad at persuading people that they decided that stuff like this, you know, weaponizing the Occupy Wall Street and the Transtifa and everything else and Antifa and all this other stuff, that that's acceptable as a form of electioneering. I've seen this happen since I've been doing, I mean, my whole career, I've watched this happen. I've been there. I've seen it. Republicans outraged. The fact that that's a headline, that's an anti-American headline. It is an anti-American sentiment for everybody to not be outraged. I wouldn't want anyone to do that to a Democrat elected, a Democrat in office. Because your concern about the republic and the health of the republic shouldn't stop at the political affiliation of the person occupying the seat or the person running for the seat or trying to get on or on the ticket. You care about the health of the republic and you recognize the threat that something like this poses to the stability of said republic. And the people who don't care about that, well, they don't care about this. I wouldn't want to see that happen to Biden or a Democrat who was elected into office. Even if I didn't vote for him, I still wouldn't want to see that, because we have a history of bloodless transfer of power. It's what makes the United States so unique in our founding on republic construct using democratic principles, democratic processes. It's a brilliant structure. And it's threatened when people do not value equally the lives of people on either side of the aisle. And Democrats can get mad and point fingers at Republicans all they want to, but I have watched it grow and turn the Democrat Party into literally a bunch of soulless skeksis. And sadly, I've watched it affect many on the right, who think that they have to match them in soullessness in order to compete. That's a consequence of the immorality that the left has preached and the war that they have waged culturally, is that that virus spreads. But the fact that everybody isn't outraged, or that Politico would say Republicans outraged over, everybody should be outraged. And I think it's un-American to not be. And if people aren't, you should question their loyalty to this republic. The loyalty to the republic is called into question when people can't be outraged over the attempt on a former president and maybe potential next president's life because of partisan party affiliation. Just, that's the world that we're in now. It's sickening. Now, a few other things to touch on. I've got some stuff. You'll want to sign up over at Substack. There's going to be a couple of, there's a couple of things that I'm working on about this piece that has some angles that I think you need to kind of keep on the burner, especially the investigation into this. I made mention of this earlier with DeSantis. That is something that you're going to want to watch because he's marshaling two state agencies to get involved in this. And he acknowledged, and we play that audio. We don't need to play it again, but we played it earlier. He acknowledged that, yes, it's, you know, it's a federal investigation, but also he's looking at the two different departments. One's like an investigative bureau within the state of Florida, and the other is Highway Patrol. They're going to be involved in this too, he says, because there have been some there's some transgressions with state law with this. He's every right to do so. But it was a very, very, very amiable, subtle, but yet iron-fisted jab. You're not going to sweep this under the rug. And he's bound and determined to keep this in the news so that Democrats can't gloss over it like they keep trying to do with Butler County. And he wants to make sure that some answers come out in a timely fashion with us. That was a boss move that he just made there. Watch that, because I noted that, and then Will Snyder's, he's the police, he's the sheriff with Martin County. And he was very nicely with his audio too, and we don't need to play it again, but we talked about this our first hour. He had come out and said that, yes, you know, we don't know. A reporter asked him whether or not the guy had any connections to the area, and Snyder said, no, we don't know. And then he very delicately said, you know, it's crazy to think that this guy could come here, and, you know, how was he there for as long as he was? And I know that Secret Service wants an answer to that, and they're investigating to find out. He put it on Secret Service. That was him saying, you're not doing what you did in Butler County, and you're going to blame local law enforcement because we don't run like that here. You're not doing it here. He put it before it could even get started. He got in front of it. Very smart. Super smart move. So already, they're not going to be caught flat-footed on this. And you can, I think the response is going, and the investigation is going to be quite different from this compared to Butler County. And I think that also can be a determination into how to change Secret Service top down.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fortunately, in this country, it's not hard to get your hands on a gun. Yeah. Now, ATF, I'm sure, is already tracing that particular firearm. They can trace it back to the point of sale that took place. And unfortunately, in Florida, there's no requirement if the original owner sells the gun to someone else to run a background check or otherwise record it. So
this is so stupid. I get that this guy's advertised by CNN as a law enforcement expert, but he goes, and unfortunately in Florida, his sentence is there's no requirement to run a background check and otherwise record it. First off, that's not necessarily true. And it's not just in Florida where private sales, except for California, which decided to, I think, do something unconstitutional and elsewhere, private sales amongst law-abiding people as it pertains to shotguns, rifles, that's already covered. You can't, you know, you got it with your, can't go across state lines, you know, if you got pistols and all of that. All of this is already a federal statute, but he's trying to single out Florida, I think, as like a way to take a jab at DeSantis. That's what I think. But for him to be like, well, and unfortunately in Florida, dude, it's like that everywhere. But that's private sales don't drive crime. Black market does. And that's already been confirmed by not one but two surveys from the Department of Justice, including one that was released by Barack Obama's former head of the DOJ, Eric Holder. So don't gaslight us with this BS. Furthermore, how in the hell was this guy able to be out getting a firearm in the first place when he had been arrested for illegal possession of a full auto in violation of NFA? I mean, high receipts, because we've got all that. For also, he sanded off the serial number. You don't even know where he got what. Yeah, he was arrested in April of 23rd, 2002. He was possessing a weapon of mass destruction, which that's how they classified it, which was indicated as being a full auto. So how was this guy? I mean, that was April, but yet he was like, you know what, the next month out and about? It's a felony. What is he doing? You're like, that could, I mean, you're in violation of a federal statute. So I don't know. I got questions about his criminal record and much more. So for this guy to make these sorts of proclamations, this Charles Ramsey dude, this is this kind of uninformed, you know, shenanigans that don't help the conversation. They just muddy the water. He'd do best by staying silent. Today in stupidity, Kane is out. Steve is at bat.
I'm here.
Kane's
back.
Steve, what's your dumbest piece of audio that you got?
Kane is back tomorrow. Gwen Waltz had a speech at the rally that they were both at yesterday, and she wants to make this a phrase. So Juan, go ahead and play it.
Oh no.
I kind of liked it when she did this. Turn the page. Yeah, you like that? Okay, so I need you to be with me and practice with me. What are we gonna do? We're gonna turn the page.
I want to have a debate on if that's turning the page or is that windshield wiper. Don't know. That's so cringe. She seems as nuts as he does, doesn't she? Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure to sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe.